Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Welcome to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Trump himself urges his supporters to demonstrate against the trial. Here's what he said on Truth Social yesterday. Quote, America-loving protesters should be allowed to protest in front of courthouses all over the country, just like it allowed for those who are destroying the country on the radical left. Two-tiered system of justice, free speech, and assembly has been chilled for USA supporters. Go out and peacefully protest, rally behind MAGA, save our country. The only thing you have to fear is fear itself. Okay, Donald Trump, Truth Social. Joining us now from New York City is a colleague of mine, because we both work somewhat at WABC Radio, the most powerful radio station in the world right now. Rudy Giuliani is the former mayor of New York City from 1994 to 2021. All right, I got lots of questions for you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for appearing today. I know you're busy. When you were the U.S. prosecutor, the federal prosecutor in the Southern District of New York, before you became mayor, this case against Trump never would have happened, right?
Oh, against anyone. No, it's not a case, Bill. I mean, it's not a case in so many different ways. It's hard to describe. It's a state misdemeanor, which is barred by the statute of limitation, but for the fact that Bragg says it was done in pursuance of a more serious crime, a felony. But that's a federal felony, which he doesn't have the right to prosecute.
Right. And the Fed said, we're not going to prosecute it. We all know the basis of the case, and really nobody is disputing what you say. We all know this is being done for political reasons. But my question was more the atmosphere in the city of New York was so much different back when you were mayor. And you never would have seen anything like this. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I have a hard time believing some of these things are going on, Bill. You know, I get up in the morning and I say, is this really happening? 10, 20 years ago, I would have thought somebody told me these things were happening. There was some kind of nutty conspiracy theorist. Plus, they let the crime get come back, which I honestly didn't think they could do, not just after me, but after Bloomberg.
I'm going to get to that in a moment. But the key question for people who don't live in and around New York City is, what happened? What happened to make a city that was run fairly efficiently at the state and local level, the largest city in the country, to the chaos that we have now? Is it the people's fault for voting for these far left like Alvin Bragg? Whose fault is this?
Well, ultimately, it has to be the people's fault, right? They selected de Blasio. They selected Adams. They selected the people who passed the bill in 2019 to let everybody out of jail. Since 2019, 38 cop killers have been released from jail. There are about 7,000 to 8,000 people on the street right now in New York that, if the laws I had in effect weren't changed, would be in jail. So, I mean, that's a simple explanation.
So it's the folks voting for people who are having destructive policies that are boomeranging back on the same folks and hurting everybody. Now, you could run for mayor again. I don't know whether you've ever considered that, but you could do it. So let's say you ran for mayor and you won. Could you clean this city up, or is it beyond repair?
We could clean it up. I'm not sure we could do it as quickly or as completely as before, because some permanent changes have taken place, even in the electorate. The Democrat majority in the city, although in numbers about the same, is much more radical than it was. It was much more prone to consider Republicans, to vote for Republicans. I mean, I had 70% of the Jewish vote. I don't know if a Republican could get 70% of the Jewish vote anymore. Maybe now, and maybe with the changes that I'm seeing in the Hispanic vote in particular, and maybe I'm seeing changes in the Black vote. I've got to see it first before I believe it. But it would be harder to do now than it was then. But you could do it, sure.
But if you were mayor, okay, or somebody like you wins next time around, you're still going to have the no bail law. You're still going to have violent criminals, people found with guns, all right, released, hours after the police arrest them. You're still going to have low police morale because the police are disrespected by the city council. And, you're elected, but the city council is as radical a council as there is in America. They hate the cops. They don't want public order. They want what they have, which is disorder everywhere and fear. They want that. How do you beat that? How do you beat it?
You can change the morale of the police pretty quickly by being on their side. The minute I became mayor last time, I told them I'm on your side. You're going to get the benefit of the doubt. If you have to do something that's tough, do it. I'll be there with you. I demonstrated that to them 2 or 3 times, got my head kicked in politically, but gained the eternal loyalty of the police. They knew I wasn't going to let them get hung out to dry. Then there are a lot of things you can do administratively. You can emphasize smaller crimes that you know are going to net you a lot of really bad people. Like when we went and got the squeegee guys, Bratton and I, half of them were wanted for violent felonies. So if you really understand law enforcement, you know where to go to make your arrest.
That's true, but they're back out on the street in hours, and the criminals look upon the criminal justice system in New York as a joke. It's a cost of doing business.
I appointed 100 judges. It's going to take a while, but over a period of time, if you give me 4 years, I'll put 40 or 50 new judges on, and that won't be happening. Plus, the minute the judges know the mayor is going to... Remember when Koch used to have those press conferences? I just copied them. When a judge did something wrong, he'd have a big press conference. He'd rip the judge apart. I used to do the same thing. I just copied Koch. It works.
Now, it works. You and I stood out for 3 hours at the funeral of Detective Diller 4 weeks ago on Long Island. You and I were there. Adams was there. He didn't stand out with us, but Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, did. Did you say anything to the Attorney General while you were standing there?
No, I didn't. And I know her, too. I know her for a long, long time. I didn't say anything to her because I was I'm not sure how I would have handled it. I consider her kind of like beyond the pale for having run as a hitman, basically. She ran for attorney general just to prosecute one person. She's a terrible attorney general. She's destroying the system of justice in New York. Very, very hard for me to deal with her objectively, and I was glad we never
And that's a good point. She acknowledged me, I acknowledged her back, but I didn't pass any words. Adams is trying to walk a tightrope between the far left and the people who want to be safe. Is he succeeding?
No, you can't do it. Right now, at least on the issues we're talking about, the economy, quality of life, and crime, you got to be single-minded. And you can't put up with all this nonsense. When I came in, Bill, I introduced workfare. I required everybody on welfare to work. At the time, I got Hillary. The New York Times said I was running a plantation because most of them were black. And I just laughed at it and said, you know, I'm going to have to go through this. Now, he would change it if they did that to him. You can't.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I want more from Mayor Adams than I'm getting. All right, let's go national here. If you had to do it all over again, would you have become the point person for the election fraud cadres? And I'm asking that because that boomeranged back on you in a horrendous way. It has punished you financially, court of public opinion. Would you have done it differently if you could get a do-over on the election fraud?
I don't think I could, Bill. I don't think I had the choices to do it differently. Would I do it again? Sure. Would I do it differently? Some different strategies, maybe? Yeah. Maybe I would have gone to the legislators first and not wasted the time in court. I didn't realize how dead set against us the court would be. And I thought the worst decision we made was to litigate some of those cases. I thought the best decision I made was to pull them from the courts and to go to the legislatures, where we now have a historical record of the cheating they did. Because I was afraid this thing would be buried for history. And remember, I had just come out of their censoring the hard drive, which I knew was accurate as hell, being accused of being a Russian agent, and every newspaper agreeing with that. So I realized we didn't have much room to litigate, but I had more confidence in the courts than I should have. And I like the strategy of going to the legislature. The court strategy, unfortunately, backfired, and it was a waste of time. They were just—
Well, not only a waste of time, but it wreaked destruction on your whole life. See, I said very quickly that this whole fraudulent allegation thing should have been handed over to Attorney General Barr, and he should have, at Trump's direction, appointed a special counsel to look into the voter fraud coast to coast. Now, that's what I would have done. Trump and Barr did not do it, instead relying on you and Sidney Powell and other people who got killed in the process. And I think that was a major mistake. I think the only way you could shed light on this, with 50 states being in charge of their individual vote count, the only way would be a massive federal investigation. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. That'd be the best way to do it. We were not going to get that. You remember, I knew—
Well, why? You had a president and an attorney general sitting there. Why wouldn't you get it? All Trump had to do was tell Barr, appoint a special counsel. Barr didn't do it. Fire him.
We had an attorney general that was sitting on the hard drive.
Well, fire him then. Trump could have fired Barr.
It was something seriously wrong with Bill Barr that we didn't realize. You don't sit on that hard drive for a year. The hard drive proves about 100 crimes against Joe Biden. It proves that Trump never should have been impeached in the first place because it shows the reason for the impeachment.
All right, but you're in the weeds now. People don't know what the hard drive says, and it hasn't been. It's a very complicated situation. But my solution is very easy. Trump picks up the phone. He tells Barr, we're going to have a special counsel. Barr says, no, I don't want it. Barr's fired because ultimately Barr quit, and Trump appointed another guy in there.
I mean, there was thought of firing Barr. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to fire Barr.
Okay, that was a huge mistake. Huge.
Maybe in retrospect it was, but I mean, the reality is that there's an accountability here by Bill Barr that's being completely ignored.
I mean, but that's always going to be the case because he can make his own case and my investigators did that. All right, well, I got one more thing here. I've known you for, I don't know, it's got to be 35 years. I felt bad or feel bad in the present tense for what's happened to you. And financially, I mean, this has cost millions and millions of dollars for you to defend yourself. So you have a website. I want you to tell folks what it is if they want to help you out. I think you were a target that the far left in the federal apparatus wanted to make an example of you, and they have.
I'm going to fight back. I'm going to continue to fight back. And if you want to help me, you can do it at RudyGiulianiCS.com. Very simple. That's where you can get me.
CS, C as in cat, S and Sam?
Yes, for common sense.
Rudy Giuliani. So Rudy Giuliani, one word, your name, .cs.com. Is that what it is?
GiulianiCS.com.
Okay. That's easy. Common sense. All right, Mr. Mayor, we appreciate it. Thanks for appearing, and we know you're very busy. Thank you again.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
So the evangelical vote is firmly in the Trump camp. And my question is, why? Trump is a libertine. If you read The United States of Trump, the book I wrote on him, he does what he wants to do. He's not constrained by the Bible or religious tenets. He does what he wants. Everybody knows that. Doesn't mean he can't govern. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. He's a libertine. Okay. Poll, Fox News, last February, on evangelicals. So, do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of Donald Trump? They asked the evangelical community. Favorable 65%, unfavorable 34%. That's a big number. Okay? How would you vote if the candidates were Biden and Trump? So Biden 47, Trump 49. That's total. That's total. Okay? Evangelicals, Biden 28. Trump 68, beats Biden by 40 points. Joining us now is an evangelical, all right? But he's also a radio talk show host, and he's got a new book out, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? I've known ToddStarnes.com for a long time. I just recently met the .com, but I've known Todd as a human being for a while. He joins us from Memphis, Tennessee. All right, so you might expect with Donald Trump's flamboyant life, multiple marriages, he runs around, does what he wants, as I said, that evangelicals might look askance at him. Why is that not happening?
It's a great question. And Bill, I remember back in 2015 when Mr. Trump had invited all of these evangelicals to come to New York City. There at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square. And I was there in that meeting when it was basically an opportunity for some of these big religious leaders to ask some pretty pointed questions of Donald Trump. And look, it was clear that he's not a holy roller. He is certainly not a Southern Baptist, but it seemed like he was able to really hit those issues that impact a lot of evangelical voters like myself. And look, it was a matter of faith for a lot of these evangelicals to step out and cast their vote for him back in 2016. And I'll be darned, Bill, if he didn't deliver on pretty much all of the promises he made to the evangelical community standing up for the big issues like religious liberty, like the culture war issues that you really brought to the forefront of the nation's conscience with the going back to the war on Christmas.
Okay, so Trump governed in a fairly conservative manner, socially speaking. That's true. So that's enough to override his private life?
I think so. And the reason why, and you mentioned it earlier on, I happen to be a Baptist. And like you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I think we've all seen that in our lives. I mean, we know the president's not perfect. But going back to the issues of governance, you know, when you look at our founding documents, and I write about this in Twilight's Last Gleaming, our foundational freedom in this country is freedom of religion. Everything else is built on top of that freedom. And I think we've seen that freedom come under assault for many years now. And I was very happy to see the president coming into office and really helping to shore up and bringing to the table a lot of the evangelical leaders, Pastor Robert Jeffress or Tony Perkins from Family Research Council. That really said a lot to me because these men were giving President Trump good and wise and biblical counsel.
All right, but he's doing that because he knows that they're going to get him votes. I don't want to be cynical about it, but I know Pastor Jeffress very well. And, you know, Trump went out of his way to bolster him in Dallas, and there was a reason why. But when in the next few weeks we're going to hear Stormy Daniels, you don't get much, I don't even know what word to use here, but you don't get much more dubious than Ms. Daniels. And another one is going to come in from Playboy, and they're going to describe stuff that's going to be pretty shocking to religious-based people. And how do you think the reaction is going to go down?
Well, I think a lot of evangelicals have seen a lot of that fornication on TV. And look, I think there is something to that. As far as this is an issue for some people. But I think by and large, Bill, I think the average American voters are going to dismiss all of this. They see it as nasty, ugly politics. They see it as smears. And at the end of the day, I go back to something President Trump said a couple of weeks ago. He was catching a lot of heat for promoting the God Bless the USA Bible, this special gift Bible. And I think the problem was not necessarily promoting this Bible, which had been in existence for a couple of years, but it was what he said afterwards, where he said that if we really want to make America great, we've got to get back to church, we've got to get back to praying, and we've got to get back to reading the Bible. And I thought that was really quite unique and interesting.
Come on, Todd, anybody can say that. Sure. You know, politicians are politicians. I'm not demeaning what he said, what Trump said, but that's easy to say. Now, the final question is what I'm going to do tomorrow is Biden, Catholic, abortion. Okay. So evangelicals 100% are pro-life. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So you can't be an evangelical if you believe in abortion. That would seem to override a Stormy Daniels. To me, if I were an evangelical, I'm not. The abortion is so much more serious than any kind of thing that Trump may or may not have done with Ms. Daniels. But the press is never going to frame it that way. Ever in a million years will they do that.
No, and I think that's a fair assessment. And again, I'm with you. I'm not going to judge another man's relationship with God. But you look at President Biden and you wonder how in the world can this man profess to be a practicing Catholic and then stand in sheer opposition to the pro-life movement?
It's more than that, Todd. He promotes it.
Yes, he does.
He promotes it. The Biden-Harris ticket has made abortion noble. That's so far beyond the pale. I'm just stunned, but we'll get into that tomorrow. I want to read the audience. This is on page 251. You're wrapping up your book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. You say, I wrote this book so that God-loving patriots would no longer be silent in the face of evil. Why do you think so many evangelicals and other people of faith are silent? They don't rise up. You don't see mass demonstrations like you do on the left. Why?
Well, many of us have jobs, so we can't take off, you know, to go march in the streets and burn down things. That's not who we are. You know, at the heart of an evangelical Christian, there's this idea that we are to be peaceful, loving people, which, yes, that's what we're called to do. But we're also called to stand up in the face of evil. And there's the great Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself." I go back, I got the title of the book from a Ronald Reagan speech he delivered, making an observation about our national anthem, Bill. He said, our national anthem, it starts with a question, not with a declaration. Is the flag still flying? Can you still see the flag? And that's really a question that every generation of, I believe, God-loving patriots will have to answer for. We've got to stand up. And I think Christians of all denominations have a responsibility to stand up and be counted in the culture.
All right. Well, Todd, the book is Twilight's Last Gleaming. We recommend it. We appreciate your time tonight. And I hope we talk again soon. Thanks for coming on.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Latest Biden-Trump poll, Marist College poll, 1,047 registered voters, evenly between Democrat, Republican. Who do you support? Biden 51, Trump 48. So the polls have shifted a little bit over the last week or so in Biden's favor. And joining us now from Washington is John McLaughlin. We've had him on before. He's a pollster. He's worked with Donald Trump since 2011. He's advised him, and he's been Trump's pollster for 8 years. Wow. Yeah, I think you're one of the longest-running Trump guys. Usually Trump throws you into the Potomac, or you know how he is. Would you you have survived with him? So we just gave the Marist poll numbers, and it looks like there's a shift nationally, and Biden is kind of just creeping ahead by a little. It's still within the margin of error. But what do you attribute that to?
Well, first of all, we have a poll that Trump in March was up 49-43 nationally. We do 1,000 likely voters. In April, as of Friday, we posted Trump was up 49-45. So Biden went up 2 points and he got him from undecideds. And the undecideds went down a little. Well, we still have him up, but it's apples to oranges. That Marist poll that you're talking about was not likely voters. It was done among 1,192 adults. And then they screened the adults for registered voters. So when you think of the universe in the United States, you have 260 million eligible adults who could vote. And you have only 160 million came out in the last presidential race, which was a record compared to 139 million in 2016. So they're coming down from a much bigger universe. And they also, when you go through it, when you look at, they have a little higher level of college graduates. They also have, what's interesting is they have Biden's disapproval much lower than the other polls, like 50-51, depending upon the universe of registered voters.
Yeah, I don't put much credence in the Marist polling. They're associated with the NPR, and we know what NPR is now. I don't think this poll was taken in conjunction with them, but I'm not I don't think this is a solid poll, historically speaking, but NBC came out over the weekend with pretty much the same. And I don't know whether we are seeing a trend away from Trump, perhaps because of his trial. Do you see any trends developing?
But by the way, I'll give you the one last point on that. The Marist poll said they asked who they voted for in 2020, because we model our poll off of the turnout of the 160 million, the actual race. But then they don't tell you in the demographics what vote they had. So they may have a lot more Biden voters than the actual 4% that these other polls had, like NBC and stuff. But the core of the problem right now is Trump went up in. We won a record historic primary in March, where Trump certainly got some benefit from that, where his numbers, he often kids and says, you know, he's better numbers than Washington or Lincoln. Well, he had better numbers than Ronald Reagan and better results than Ronald Reagan. And it was historic primary victory, the way he won Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, and sealed the nomination. Wasn't even close. So we got a little bump out of that. And he was playing aggressive offense against Joe Biden all that time, all through the primaries. Now, okay, we won the primaries. We got the nomination. What happens? They put us in court. They are tying Donald Trump. And by the way, you know, 66% of all voters in my poll that we released Friday say that politics played a role in the Trump indictments. Another 56% say Biden played a role. They get it. They know that Colangelo, who's doing the prosecution for Bragg, was the number three guy in the Biden administration Justice Department, and they sent him to Bragg to bring this indictment of Trump.
Look, I don't think there's any question about the unfairness of this, but the question for you and for Trump is the ill-informed American, and there are, you know, tens of millions. They kind of go with the flow. And if they see a trend developing toward Biden, that's going to help Biden. Last word.
Well, what they're doing is, this is a strategy. It's not an accident. Four indictments. They want four convictions. They want to put Trump in jail. And what's in the immediate happening right now is they're taking Trump off message. Trump cannot campaign around the country, talk about inflation, talk about the border, talk about rising crime, talk about these endless wars that Biden's getting us into. So we don't have the campaign we had a month ago. We are bogged down by the Biden supporters and Biden henchmen. So that's what's going on. We need Trump to get back on the stump and go back to the battleground states and win this. But first, he's got to defend his freedom, defend his integrity from people that are trying to put him in jail.
Well, all thing is unprecedented. John, we're going to check in with you like once a month. I hope you don't mind, and we'll make the time for us. In September, that's when it really kicks in. Summer is going to be in, and I think something big is going to happen. As I said, I don't know what it is. So, John, thanks very much. You're a good guy. You always help us out, and we really appreciate it.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful. A lot of anxiety. And it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
Here's a gem from the No Spin News Vault.
So when Putin decided to invade Ukraine, which was ridiculously foolish, and that was on February 24th, 2022, he hired the Wagner Group, not his own armed forces, to be the spear tip of the invasion. And the Wagner Group are ruthless. They don't take prisoners. They shoot everybody. They kill women and children. You know, it's the SS. That's what it is. No rules, no accountability, nothing. And they're paid very, very well. And a lot of the units are made up of criminals who Putin allows out of prison, violent criminals, to be in the Wagner Group. Well, anyway, on Friday, for whatever reason, and there's a many given, Prigozhin rebels against Putin, okay? And he turns his army around, and they go into Russia, and they capture a city of some size. And the word is they're going to march to Moscow to depose the Russian Minister of Defense. But they stop yesterday, Sunday, and there's some deal made. And again, nobody really knows the ins and outs of all of this because there's no reporting on it. It's not like reporters are doing it. But Belarus, which is a Putin satellite, brokered a deal where the Wagner Group would stop, and then Mr. Prigozhin would seek safe harbor in Belarus. Well, if I were Mr. Prigozhin, that's a little too close. So you wait and see what happens to him. It depends who goes first, him or Putin. They're both going to go. Okay, so we have the story. This just happened. But the repercussions for us, you might be in near Oklahoma watching me, or Montana, or British Columbia, or Japan, or wherever. This affects you, this whole thing. And let me tell you why. Okay, so in the beginning of this Russian invasion of Ukraine, I knew it wasn't going to work because I know a lot about the world and the news. And here's what I said on January 31st. Go. Putin's on the ropes now inside Russia. We don't get reporting because, unlike here, if you are a Russian citizen and you bring this into a demonstration, you're in jail. I think Putin may go down this year because of this war, because he's losing it so badly. But the only way he goes down is if the Russian people take him out. All right, so that was 6 months ago, and it wasn't a Russian people. I could not have predicted the Wagner Group would turn on Putin. But all of Putin's allies, the most important being China, are looking at Putin's weakness. There are reports, again, we have no idea, that the Russian army didn't try to prevent the Wagner Group from taking the Russian city, Rostov, I think it is, And they didn't have any problem, the Wagner Group, advancing 120 miles outside of Moscow. Okay, again, the reporting you got to be skeptical about. But this is a humiliation for Vlad. And as far as the Ukraine war goes, he's done. Who's going to fight it? The Russian military can't fight it. They need these murderers to do the dirty work, because the Russian army is so weak. So the Ukrainians are like, all right, we're going to counterattack and we're going to retake all the territory and all its business. And then China's going, we didn't figure this was going to happen. So whenever you do something like that, whenever you make that kind of a bold move that involves conflict and violence, unintended consequences will arise. So if China invades Taiwan, believe me, there are going to be unintended consequences for China and the world that are just going to be staggering, as Putin is finding out with Ukraine. Now, here in the United States, there were, are apologists for Putin. It's incredible. There's no doubt Putin violated international law and is a war criminal. All right, as tens of thousands of women and children are dead and millions of people are displaced. Because of Putin, one guy. Yet, there are people who go on television and stick up for him. Go.
The truth is coming out that this war was not started by Russia, that Russia begged us not to try and drag Ukraine into NATO. We ignored Russia, and Russia made it very clear that they were going to defend their national interest. All they wanted was neutrality for Ukraine.
I mean, that guy is I can't even believe that he was allowed that kind of a forum. It's staggering. Robert Kennedy Jr. And he's going to have a town hall on News Nation Wednesday, and I'll be doing the pregame show on that. Robert Kennedy Jr. is sticking up for Putin. I have no idea why he would do that. But, and you know, there are the people as well. So, wrapping this thing up, a disaster for Vladimir Putin. His credibility as a fearsome leader is shot, pardon the pun. Good thing for Ukraine and the world, because Russia's power is weakened, but there will be more to come here. Not over by any means. So I walked to the pitching mound and signaled to the bullpen for the big right-hander, Colonel David Hunt, our go-to military guy, who joins us now from Scarborough, Maine. Did I report and analyze that succinctly, Colonel?
Yeah, you read my talking points perfectly. Well done. It was very well done. Yeah, no, that's yes. For example, the town Rostov that he first takes, which is about 600 miles outside of Moscow, is the town that houses the Russian military unit headquarters that's running the Ukraine war. Not a shot fired from there. You also mentioned 125 miles. That's a long way to go with tanks and artillery being towed, et cetera. And I think the distance is important because the Wagner Group commander doesn't get any help from the Russian military, particularly from the logistics people, which Wagner gets all of his supplies from. It's possible to look at if he'd gotten 60 miles outside, he might have had more Russian group commanders join, but he didn't. And he cuts a deal. You're right, he's not long for this world. What's been very consistent about Putin is he kills everybody all the time who's against him. I also think one other thing.
Go ahead.
Putin's protected by over almost 200,000 Praetorian guards. That's a massive amount of soldiers that protect him. That's not easy to break through.
Okay, but I don't know if they want Putin anymore. You know, this is such a humiliation. Okay,
yeah, no, nobody, yeah.
Right. Who wants True. Putin? Nobody. So the Praetorian Guard, as Julius Caesar found out, could turn pretty quick. But let's advance the story. So now Putin doesn't have a spear point in Ukraine anymore. They're gone. This Wagner group is gone. They're not going to fight for him anymore in Ukraine. You can't.
Nope.
Their commander is gone. They're gone. These are all criminal thugs. They're probably deserting and running to get out of Russia right now as we speak. The Wagner Group also has units in Africa and the Middle East. They cause trouble all over the world at the behest of Putin. They're paid to cause trouble in every country that Putin wants to destabilize. You would think that would cease. So the Russian military footprint is weakened all over the world, not only in Ukraine and Russia. Am I right?
Absolutely. And it's a weakness during a counteroffensive by Ukraine that the West, led by us, must drive a wedge through, and they only got about a week to 10 days to do that. Russia is in disarray, and that is a time to attack. The problem is, we've still got to get the tanks and aircraft that we promised Ukraine in there, and they're not there yet.
Okay. And if I were Ukrainians, I wouldn't be counting on them be there. But as I wrote in my message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com, which everybody should go every morning and read, it's free for everybody. You have a situation now where Putin is so weakened in the eyes of the tyrants, Xi, the Mullers, they're all watching it. Saudi Arabia, the nation that just puts that finger up to the wind. You know, they're kind of moving over there to Russia. Now, all of them are going to pull back. And Putin himself, there's no good news on the horizon for Vlad. I mean, How long do you think he's got in there? Do you think he can hold on?
No, I think you've got within 3 months. I don't think this is, as you've mentioned, this story's not over. Advancing the story is, how long does Putin have? How does this affect the war with Ukraine and Russia? Is the West capable of exploiting this weakness? And stop talking about how weak Putin is, excuse me, and get the new tanks and helicopters and the jets in there to make a difference and end this?
The answer is no, they're not. But we have good U.S. intel assets in Russia. We have them, CIA,
yes.
NSA, we pay them.
Yes.
They're all over the place, okay? So I think that the Biden administration, Biden himself, I don't even know if he knows it was a mutiny. But the U.S. intel certainly does. And their job should be to foster as much chaos as possible inside Russia now, to call on, you know, demonstrations and everything they can do just to create crisis after crisis after crisis, which they're pretty good at doing that, the American intel services.
Yeah, there are actually units inside the intelligence community, as you know, that they do it for as a for a living. And you could go at the expat Russians. The Russians that are inside Russia don't want Putin. I think those are the guys who are flying the drones. I think you have to obviously expand that as you put pressure back on the Ukraine-Russian and try to get this a two-front war in which Putin feels pressure inside the border and outside the border. But
right.
That takes coordination and effort. And if they haven't planned this ahead of time, we're going to lose the opportunity.
Yeah. I don't have any faith in the Biden administration's ability to deliver any hardware or NATO. But after writing Killing the Killers, and I know you read that book, the intel services are still pretty solid about hunting down and hurting the bad guys, despite Biden's incompetence. They're still pretty solid there. So we'll see. Would you please follow this? And if you see anything, you know, as long as your, you know, black T-shirts are starched, just let us know and we'll put you on. Because we want to get
the problem is, the problem, Bill, is you can't handle this. You can't wear this. You can't wear this.
Yeah, I don't want to have a tourniquet under my jacket. I don't want to do that. I mean, I know.
Come on.
Colonel David Hunt, everybody, give him a round of applause. I hope to see you soon, Colonel. Thanks for opening us up.
Thank you for listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition. To watch the full episodes of the No Spin News, visit BillO'Reilly.com and sign up to become a premium or concierge member. That's BillO'Reilly.com. Sign up and start watching today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.